We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Sheila Hancock in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard this week, once more we had three of our regular competitors of the game, and we welcome back as our guest somebody who has played the game with great success in the past, Sheila Hancock. Once again, I'm going to ask our contestants to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And Clement Freud, we'd like you to begin the show this week, and the subject is milking a camel. Can you tell us something about that particular subject in this ridiculous game, starting now?
In order to milk a camel, you first of all have to identify the animal. Ogden Nash said, a camel has a single hump, a dromedary too. Perhaps it's the other way round. I'm not sure, are you? And this poet is particularly famous for having written, I shot a hippopotamus.
Derek Nimmo chance.
There's no attempt to milk the camel. He's reciting poems.
You have got to explain how to find a camel before you can milk
a camel.
Yes,
but then you went off about Ogden Nash and dromedaries as well. So I think you had deviated somewhat from the subject of milking. So I will give Derek the subject and a point for a correct challenge, of course, and tell him he has 42 and a half seconds to take over the subject, starting now.
I was first allowed to milk a camel by Sheikh Rashid's son, Mohammed, in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates.
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation's name dropping. Not telling us anything about milking, okay? But just tell us about the important people he knows. That's all.
Have you ever known Derek ever do anything else?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think that's... But anyway, no, he can name drop as much as he likes on Just a Minute. In fact, you can do anything you like, provided you stick to the subject. And don't hesitate or repeat yourself, and Derek didn't do that. There are 35 seconds for him to continue, having gained a point for a wrong challenge, milking a camel, starting now.
Wilfred Thesiger, the first man to cross the empty quarter, had to rely tremendously on camel milk. And if you read his book, Desert Sands, you will see within it a whole chapter devoted to the art of squeezing the udders of camels and producing this rather stringy, nasty milk. It's a brownish colour, not to be recommended, particularly for small children, although apparently tiny camels quite enjoy it. Now, you have to have a bath to...
Hesitation.
Yes, I think after the... Now, there was a hesitation after you talked about the baby camels. Clement, I agree with your challenge, and you have 7 seconds on milking a camel, starting now.
A camel's udder hangs at the rear, and a number of teeth protrude, which you must grasp in your hands and squeeze.
When Ian Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud who started the round. So he's equal with Derek at the end of the first round, and Derek would like you to begin the second round, and the subject is a short address. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
I suppose a tolerably short address would be Buckingham Palace, England, which would always get your mail to the place that you wanted to go to. Another one might be, Warwick Castle.
Sheila Hancock.
Yeah, she said
He definitely said yes. He erred there within the game as well as saying it, and therefore, Sheila, you have a correct challenge, a point and 47 seconds on a short address, starting now.
A short address was something that I always used to enjoy when I went to church as a child, as opposed to a long one given by the vicar. And it was very pithy and to the point and enjoyable, usually with a quotation from the Bible. A friend of mine lives in the street.
Clement Freud,
chance. Hesitation.
No. Sheila, you continue on the short address. 17 and a half seconds, starting now.
The Village, England. I have had letters reach me with just the address Sheila Hancock, England, which I was immensely...
Derek Nimmo,
the Village of England.
Yes,
right, I'm afraid so. Derek, 10 seconds for you on a short address, starting now.
My address today, I would like to take as my text the words of the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 4, in which he says, when the bell soundeth, then wilt thou come, which could, I suppose, more colloquially be translated...
So, Derek Nimmo was speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point on the subject with which he started, lost and regained, and he's in the lead at the end of the round. Sheila Hancock, will you begin the next round? Avoiding tax. That is what Ian Messiter's decided will be the subject. Can you talk on it for just a minute, starting now?
This is something that I got very good at last Christmas when I was putting up my decorations and all the tacks kept falling in the carpet. And I discovered that if you wear very thick-soled shoes, then you can usually avoid the tacks. But there is another sense in which I am not very good at this, though I try, as does everybody else in this country. I understand if you go and live abroad, you can avoid tax, but that seems to me a singularly boring solution, as I actually do like living in this country.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of country.
Yes, I'm afraid you repeated your country, and Derek got in when 25 seconds... with him now to talk on avoiding tax starting now.
Well, I'm sure I avoid tax by using a staple gun. These are marvellous machines.
See that challenge.
Deviation, I've never avoided tax by using a staple gun. I said you have to wear thick-soled shoes to avoid tax.
Absolutely right. Well tried. Give her a point. I don't mech about. I mean, generous to a fault, I am.
Do you want to give it to her, Derek? Because I think she would.
Of course I do. I'd be delighted that for the head.
Sheila, you have got the subject with Derek's generosity, and there are 11 seconds on avoiding tax starting now.
As I seem to be getting it.
You've got another point from Derek Nimmo, and you continue now with 10 seconds starting now.
Every single post seems to bring in another tax demand, so I'm obviously singularly useless at avoiding tax. And if anybody listening can give me any hints as to how to do it, I would be very grateful.
Clement Freud challenged before.
I can give her a hint.
So what is your challenge?
It was... She challenged me to give her a hint. And
no, she
I
didn't. Did she ask anybody to write in? You didn't.
No, she
you
didn't.
Interrupted.
Anyone listening?
Anyone listening?
Well, I was
to write in.
Yes.
But you obviously
she asked
what?
You to write in. She didn't want you to jump
in
the game.
I will write in.
You write in.
Grovel, grovel. Anything's worth
going. 1 second there, starting. Starting now.
There are lots of little...
So, Sheila, she's taken the lead at the end of that round. So she's not avoiding tax, but she's making points anyway. And she's in the lead ahead of Derek Nimmo, and Clement Freud's in third place, and then comes Kenneth Williams, who begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject is sharks. Can you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
There are three kinds of sharks, and the one that we're most afraid of is called the man-eater, and it will eat carrion as well as refuse. Now, one of the people that's written a great length about this shark and its problems, because it does have difficulty, apparently, in affecting ballast, and so it does swallow quite deliberately very heavy objects. Apparently, this gives it a sort of buoyancy that it wouldn't otherwise possess. They have appalling great teeth, which when they're seen in close-up are very nasty because they don't regularly visit the proper dentists, you see, and consequently they're covered in all this brown muck. And then these pilot fish go alongside them, their eyes, actually. They have an incredible sort of feel for the magnetic.
Clement Freud challenged.
I thought that was hesitation.
Yes, I think it was. So, Clement, you have 9 seconds for sharks, starting now.
Another kind of shark about which Kenneth Williams didn't speak is the loan shark, who has enough acidity in his stomach to bow burn a hole in your...
Derek Nimmo.
Bow burn. He could bow burn. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you try to keep going under pressure with three people breathing down your neck, metaphorically speaking, to get in. And Derek did it with 1 second to go, and the subject is still sharks. Derek, starting now.
Skin diving off Pier Man in the streets of Malaysia.
So Derek's now in the lead, one ahead of Sheila Hancock. The next subject is for Derek to begin, and it's a strange thing I saw on my travels. Oh, we're going to have more of all this name-dropping and place-dropping, aren't we now? Right, so Derek, there are 60 seconds, starting now.
I think probably one of the strangest things that I've seen on my travels takes place at the Batu Caves outside Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. These great limestone rocks tower into the sky, and at 4 o'clock in the morning on this particular day of the year with Thai Pausam's festival, you hear the drums beginning to beat, these Hindu tom etc.'s that bang away the rhythm into the night. And slowly a great black line of figures crosses the ground towards the cave.
Clement Freud, chant.
Repetition of great and hesitation and a few other things. And he didn't drop any names. Deviation.
You did repeat the word great, I'm afraid, because I was actually getting very interested. It made me want to go to Putnam.
It gets better later on, I can tell you.
Well, I hope you get the subject back, Derek, and we hear more about it. But in the meantime, I must be fair, because Clement had a correct challenge, and he has 30 and a half seconds on a strange thing I saw on my travels, starting now.
One of the strangest things I ever saw on any travel of which I've partaken was Kenneth Williams, whom I caught out of the corner of my eye, leaning behind me on an aeroplane bound for the Middle East.
Derek Nimmo,
deviation. Kenneth's never been to the Middle East.
On the contrary.
Yes. Not with Clement Freud,
you have. I've been an obituary round Cairo cafes and been known. I've been known.
With Clement Freud?
I'm a cult. I'm a cult. They say I'm one of the biggest cults in the Middle East, don't they, Kenneth?
Yes. Wherever you go in the Levant, they say, I've caught Kenny Williams out of the corner of my eye over there.
Kenny the cult, they say. Many is the time we've seen him sipping the mint tea.
Mm. 2 years ago, you wouldn't go abroad. You thought it was
dirty. I know, isn't it funny? We had these sort of conversions, you know, like Saul on the way to Tarsus, was it, or Damascus? I can never remember where he was going. What were you on about, by the way? Oh, he was getting the subject back, was he?
That's right, yes. And he continues with 16 seconds on a strange thing I saw in my travels, starting now.
And moving towards the pyramids, I heard two actors, and one said to the other, I think I shall get a split week in Peebles. For no other reason does one go to Egypt than to overhear one's fellow members of equity.
Derek Nimmo, repetition of Egypt.
Yes, you went to Egypt once too often in just a minute. Because you can't repeat words, unfortunately.
Egypt.
1 second for Derek on the subject starting now.
And the worshippers put dust onto their cheeks.
Again, as the whistle went, Derek has gone ahead. He's in the lead, but he's alongside Sheila Hancock, and they're both ahead of Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams. Sheila, your turn to begin. The subject, standing in the corner. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I remember being made to do this when I was evacuated and went to a simply horrid school in the country where they didn't like the evacuees very much. And there was this headmistress who we called Miss Greenbum. Her name was actually something to do with Green Possum or something.
Kenneth Williams.
Well, there was hesitation there, plus the fact that I think that word is disgraceful on a family show. And I mean, these people sitting here...
It's in Shakespeare.
Yes, I know, you're quite right.
And I think it's a word that's often bandied about in every family, so I don't think...
It's
a very good word, but
yes, quite right.
Yes. So what's your challenge?
Yes, hesitation.
No, I don't think she hesitated.
Oh, I did. I wound down a bit.
Well done. Well, thank you, Sheila. So, Kenneth, you have the subject of Greenbum. I'm so sorry. You have the subject of standing in the corner, and there are 41 seconds starting now.
Standing in the corner was one of the punishments at my school. Of course, it didn't occur to me because I was an exemplary pupil, and people said, what a lovely creature you are. Your spun gold hair sprouting from that brainy forehead is a sight that enlivens our hearts.
Sheila Hancock, chance.
He's deviating a bit, isn't he? He's not standing in the corner.
I know, but I've... want him to get a few more points. So, he's only got one at the moment. You're in the lead with Derek.
I've given him one already. I said I hesitated when I didn't really.
Well, I know you did. Let's be generous to him again, because I love him in the corner with his spun gold hair. There we are. 25 seconds on the subject, Kenneth, starting now.
Standing in a corner once, I did put some knick-knacks on a knick-knackery, which was rather amusing because it was arranged in tiny shelves and little objets are...
Clement Freud, challenge.
I'd like him to have a few more points.
Kenneth, you've got some more points from Clement this time. 16 seconds on standing in the corner, starting now.
And I have to stand in the corner for my mother when she wants the iron plugged in because of the ironing board.
Clement Freud, challenged.
He almost hesitated, but I'd like him to have another point.
He almost hesitated because you put your buzzer right under his nose. Anybody would hesitate if you did a thing like that. You had a legitimate wrong challenge, then.
What is this big thing you're having with Kenneth this week?
Oh, I had a big thing with Kenneth for many weeks, but no one spotted it.
He's got a great big crush, hasn't he?
It's the spun gold hair, didn't you know?
Ridiculous.
What's that? Well, yes, I know. Everybody, he's all, I mean, all this banter that he gives out when he shouts and screams at me, it's all a great cover. Didn't you know that? Right. Kenneth, there are 7.5 seconds on Standing in the Corner, starting now.
And Standing in the Corner of My Mother's House.
Clement Freud Chund.
Repetition of Mother.
Yes, and you were in your mother's corner once before. I've got it to bear this time. So Clement's in this time with a challenge I'm going to allow, and there are 6 seconds on with the subject with you, Clement, starting now.
I've always thought that Standing in the Corner was a very sensible punishment, as opposed to being sent outside the room where you couldn't hear anything at all.
Well, at the end of that round, Kenneth is still, in spite of everyone's help, in the fourth place. But he's now only 2 points behind Clement Freud, who's 3 behind Sheila Hancock and Derek Nimmer, who are still equal in the lead. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Nijinsky. Will you tell us something about him in the game, starting now?
Nijinsky was born in Kiev in 1890, and then he studied at the Imperial School in Petrograd. And after that, he went with that incredible man, Diaghilev, to the Mariinsky. And it was in that company that he traveled to Paris, where he had enormous success. People cried out, oh, any good. And he did this job.
Oh, Sheila Hancock, Charlie.
When did they called out, oh, c'est bon, or something like that?
Yeah, the French people will be. Didn't establish whether they were French or English. It might have been an Englishman.
I doubt there were many English people saying, oh, isn't he good?
There might have been, so I couldn't give it against him for that, could I, really? So let's continue with you, Kenneth, on Nijinsky. 27 seconds. Starting now.
He performed and choreographed Les Premiers de Faune, a brilliant dance, and everyone said a future assured, until, lo, the war broke out and he got interned in wearable places, Hungary, behind the barbed wire. Well, you can imagine the despair into which he was suddenly plunged. And that began, as far as I'm concerned, what was eventually to prove.
I don't know whether you've heard, for those who are interested, that began, of course, the madness from which he suffered in later life, which Kenneth was going to tell you about, and Kenneth now has leapt forward. He's in third place. Ahead of Clement Freud, but only 2 behind our joint leaders, Derek Nimmer and Sheila Hancock, and Clement begins the next round. The subject is snorkeling. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now, Clement?
Snorkeling, I believe, is something you do under the water, where I've never been because I don't like getting water in my ears. As I've now said water twice and nobody's interrupted me.
Water 3 times.
Yes. Water 3 times. Derek, there are 51 seconds for you to take over the subject of snorkeling, starting now.
I'm very sorry for Clement Freud that has never been snorkeling, because a whole new world opens up to you. The sheer beauty of that which lies beneath the sea. One of the things that one can do is to dive suddenly down into reasonably aqua pura, and there you will see strange insects and creatures, and sometimes sea anemones. Now, if you spear one of these with a spike, a sword, anything you might have with you, then thousands of fish rush towards it from all over the water around. It's extraordinary.
Clement Freud.
He said sometimes, twice.
Yes, he did. That's true. And you have the subject, and there are 18 seconds on snorkeling, Clement, starting now.
If you go to very smart sports shops, they sell you snorkels, which you are told to put on your head and take to the seaside, where if you enter the bathing surface, you may see beneath it.
Kenneth Williams, chat.
Oh, it's just deviation and rubbish. I mean, bathing surface. It doesn't exist. It's all crap, isn't it? What a load of rubbish.
The bathing surface.
Deviation.
I think he was getting a little lost.
Of course, he was hopelessly lost, wasn't he? Hopeless.
6 seconds for you, Kenneth, on snorkeling, starting now.
You have these goggles and you get into all this rubber, black rubber, and it's going to... What's the matter? What's the matter? Who pressed that button?
Well, all the black rubber sent you into a great...
Who pressed the button?
Me.
Derek Nimmo challenged you, yes.
Derek Nimmo?
Yes.
What have you the impertinence to challenge me about?
Because you got very overexcited about this black rubber. You go black rubber, black rubber, black rubber, black rubber all the time.
You went into paroxysms of joy over it. I mean, some of the members of the audience here were looking the other way. They didn't... They were overcome. One woman was just about to rush up on the stage and grab
you. Are you saying I've lost the subject or
yes, because you repeated the word rubber.
I didn't repeat the word rubber, did I? Well, you rotten... Well, you won't get asked back here again. I'm telling them nothing. They won't get asked, will they? They won't get asked back.
I don't know. They're very honest. I think we should... Perhaps they don't want to come back.
Well, who gets the subject?
Derek Nimmer gets the subject.
Well, they put Nijinsky away for 30 years, didn't they?
And he won the derby.
But he wasn't snorkeling at the time. There are 3 seconds on the subject of snorkeling starting now.
Parrot fish are particularly beautiful to see, and that's why...
Well, Derek Nimmer got an extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and he's gained a number of points in that round. He's moved forward, he's in a strong lead, and the other three are very close together in second and third and fourth place. Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, the Beaujolais. I don't know why Ian Messer put the in, but the Beaujolais is the subject starting now.
The Beaujolais, I suppose he wants me to talk about wine rather than the district. I suppose then I will. I was just trying to define the question. Had I started?
I don't want the rotten subject, but he said, I suppose, twice.
Well,
I was
just trying to work out this
verb,
isn't it? The definite article I was wondering.
Yes, I was a bit confused by as well, Derek, but you did have to begin. That's the rules of the game, and you did start to repeat the word subject, as Sheila said, and she has 44 and a half seconds on the Beaujolais starting now.
Presumably, what Ian means is the district from which this wine comes, of which there are many different areas that I don't know the name of. Beaujolais is a lovely red wine, which actually gives me a migraine, so I don't have it very often. But my old man likes a drop of the Beaujolais. Mind you, he likes a bit of... You will cut that. You will cut it, won't you? You'll cut that.
Especially after the Beaujolais.
Oh, when's it going out? I'll have to make sure he's not listening.
Don't you know that nothing's ever edited out of Just a Minute?
No, I shall keep him off.
That's why we get these... I've had one or two letters. As I said in the letter to this person, if that had been scripted, it could have been double entendre. So
sent with a pure war theme.
Clement Freud has the subject of the Beaujolais, and there are 33 seconds starting now.
As Sheila Hancock so very rightly said, the Beaujolais is a district, and it contains Morgon and Bruy and Fleury and Beaujolais Village, and I won't bore you by giving you lots of other names, mainly because I forget them at the moment. The wine should be drunk fairly new. It's a great mistake to keep Beaujolais for a long time because it has a lovely, fruity, raspberry taste when it is freshly from the bottle and it hasn't been too long in cask. You can buy it at any good wine merchant and should, of course, serve it in a large glass so that it has the chance to breathe or oxidize, which is the CIA's name for it. Many people who enjoy the wine are called les...
Derek Nimmer.
Repetition of wine.
Yes, but actually you weren't paying attention. We were trying to let him go on as long as he possibly... Clement, you went 10 seconds beyond the time you should have blown the whistle. And so congratulations. Very interesting. You got a point when you should have gone at 60 seconds. And what's the score? Oh,
what
yes,
is he
Clement.
Talking about? I can't follow this game at all. I'm frightfully intellectual.
Is this a new rule now? Could you explain what you're up to?
We do 66 seconds.
It's all this
now, do we?
No, it's great romance with Kenneth Williams. It's turned his head, I think.
It shows the state they get me in. My goodness me. Let's begin another round. It's Sheila's turn, and the subject is my worst moment on stage. Starting now.
My worst moment on stage was long ago when I was in a show of No Orchids for Miss Blandish, and I was also the ASM, which, for people who don't know, is the person that helps put up the set and the props. And I obviously hadn't cleated the flats together very reliably, and just when I was about to have a very sexy scene, I noticed that the set was beginning to fall. So therefore, I had to lean against the wall. And in fact, when the young man came on that was supposed to have this seductive scene with me...
Derek Nimmerchild.
I remember the scene, really, but I suppose mean.
It's
warming up,
wasn't
it?
Very mean, I thought. He's just hearing her story. Starting to get good with this bloke coming in.
Yeah.
Doing a seductive thing with her.
Seductive.
And he goes and presses his thing.
I'm like... No, he didn't. He didn't do that.
Do you want to tell us what actually
happened? No. Very boring. I was just waffling.
Oh, God, what a pity. 25 seconds are left for you, Derek. You've taken over the subject of my worst moment on stage, starting now.
Was working with that lovely lady of the English theatre, Dame Anna Neagle, was wearing a throat microphone that went down her bumbles, which was held together by a certain amount of wiring and elastic, and the transmitter was in her knickers. And in the middle of this particularly beautiful dance, the thing snapped. Out came the electronic device from her pants, and she kept on dancing most gallantly. Wonderful applause. It was a tremendous night in the British Theatre, and one I'll never forget.
Now, Jerry, perhaps you understand what I mean by we certainly let you go on beyond the time, because it was lovely hearing the end of that story. You've got that extra point for speaking when the whistle should have gone. And I will now give you the final score because we've reached the end of the show this week. Well, it was a very close thing in second place. Sheila Hancock, Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams were equal. And in first place, way out in the lead, was this week's winner, Derek Nimmo. So we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute and Derek Nimmo, who returned to triumph yet again in the game, and we hope that you will want to tune in again when we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.